You are listening to BensTorah.com.
This topic will be a very halach l'maisa topic, and that is making sounds on Shabbos. That means that you let a bang, knock on doors with your hands, knock on doors with a knocker, snap your fingers, whistle, have bells on the Torah as you walk the Torah, the bells ring, play with nuts. Those of you remember, there's certain games used to throw nuts or knock nuts one with another. All situations where you cause music or cause noise or cause a bang. That's the topic of tonight's shiur. So I'm going to, with your permission, share you on the Marim Kamas. I sent it as a link on the chat if you want to have your own access to it. But if you want to just look along with me, you're welcome to look at the screen with me. So that's the shiur. Banging, knocking, snapping fingers, whistling, bells, and tone, playing with nuts. So the Gemara that we're going to begin with is a Gemara on the very, very, very last daf in Erevin. I think Erevin finishes on Kuf. Hey, right before that Kuf Dalet, Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says something that we'll have to explain. Mimalin mibar hagola. You let it fill from a certain kind of bar. So one of the rules they're talking about, so if you look at Rabbi Hananel, and you look at this little picture that I have here for you, thank you. If you look at this picture, you see that there is a sink for the Kohanim to wash their hands and their feet, and you see that it's held up, or it's held up on a chain with a gear that lifts it up, and that gear is to lift it out of a mikvah that's an underground water source. And the reason why this was built at a certain point in the Beis HaMikdash, as the Mishnah Midos explains, is because if you leave the water out during the night, the water becomes pasul belina. It's possible to have water that's left out overnight. And therefore, to prevent that spill from occurring, the entire sink was inserted into the mikvah and then was lifted up, even though it's at a great weight, by this mukhni. The mukhni is a gear, and that mukhni made a lot of noise. So with that in mind, that's what Ben Hananel explains. Ben Hananel, on this Gemara, explains, what does it mean that you're allowed to fill up from the bor hagola? Says Ben Hananel. Tanah b'sof midos, the end of Mishnayis midos, we learn that lishkas hagola lishkas hagula, Hagalgal, I don't know how to read those words. Nosel of Ma'im, Misham Misaki Ma'im Chal Hazara. They had a lot of water that they would get out of this pit. Hagalgal Hazeh, Kishim Ma'im Bo, Mosek Kol Gadol. That, I'm not sure if that's talking about this picture that you have in front of you, or it's talking about a different kind of water, some gear that lifted up water that it provided water for the Beis HaMikdash. And it made a lot of noise when those gears turned. Where do we see that there's a lot of noise from the gears that were turned to lift the water up? Kedetanan, says Rabbi Hananel. A guy named Ben Katin was the engineer, and he manufactured a mukhni lakiyar. A mukhni is this gear contraption that lifts up the sink, the kiyar, from the water. And this was permitted. In the Beis HaMikdash to make that noise. However, the Mishnah continues in Erevin to say, but outside the Beis HaMikdash, to stomach make a noise would not have been permitted. So this great noise is permitted in the Beis HaMikdash. Based on that, the Gemara says the following story, and this story is going to be the theme of what we're going to talk about for the rest of the evening. Ula and Rabba. Those are the two personalities that we're going to be going bouncing back and forth between the two of them. Ula was visiting the house of Rav Menashe, and there was a knock on the door. And Ula said, who is it? In other words, who is that Michal Shabbos at the door? Lischel Gufe. Let that person's body be, destroyed. The Kamachil Leila Shabbata, because he's being Michal Shabbos. Let his body be Michal, because he's being Michal Shabbos. What did he do? All he did was knock on the door. Ula is clearly assuming that to knock on the door is to be Michal Shabbos. Now, I don't think he means Michal Shabbos Daraisa. But either way, Ula holds that if you knock on the door, you don't have to say who's there. You know who's there. It's Michal Shabbos there. Amar li Rabba. Rabba responds, no, my dear friend Ula. Knocking on the door isn't being Michal Shabbos. The Isser of making noise on Shabbos, lo asru ella, kol shel shir. The Isser of knocking on the door, or the Isser of making noise on Shabbos, is only if it is a kol shel shir. If it's a music, if it's a melody. I know when the Chazan uses the Chazan Davins, not on Shabbos, he uses a tuning fork, right, Chazan? You have a tuning fork, I saw you slip it out of your pocket on during the Atzlichas. Aslichas, I think I saw you take it out of your pocket. Aslichas is much like Shabbos. But on Shabbos, I don't think the Chazan uses a tuning fork. If he does, I have to speak to the rabbi. But there, that's a kol shel shir. Maybe it's just a note. Maybe it's not a kol shel shir. Either way, we have a big machlokas here. Ula says making noise on Shabbos is usur. Rabbi says, no, it's only usur if it is musical. What's the difference of definition of musical? Rashi explains, what's the kol shel shir? Hanishma ke'en shir. It's heard as though it's a melody. Bine'ima, with pleasantness, uvenachas, and slowly. If a guy's knocking on the door, bang, trying to break the door down, that's not. You know, even if there's a beat or something, that might not be. If there's some kind of beat that has a melody, that has a rhythm to it, then we would potentially be concerned that that would be asur according to everybody. But if it's just a knock, a regular knock on the door, that's machlokas. Ula says it's chil Shabbos. The Rabbanan, Rav says it's mutter because it doesn't have a tune. That's the introduction to the sugya. Based on that machlokas, we're going to have four. The Gemara is going to raise four questions, and all these four questions are going to show the situations that are asur, and say you see it's asur even though there's no tune, and they're all going to have the same kind of answer. We're going to say no. The reason why it's asur is not really you do need a tune, but it's asur for some other reason, as we'll see one at a time. So let's see question number one. I labeled each one as Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. Q1, Esve Abaye. Abaye says, how could you tell me that only musical sounds are asur? I'll show you even a regular sound is asur. There's a case where you have somebody who's sick. And if you have somebody who's sick, you want to help, you don't want them to fall asleep. They're very sleepy. You want to keep them awake. So you know what you do? I remember when my parents were in camp many years ago, they lived in the camp gave them a trailer. And the roof of the trailer was, I don't know, tin or aluminum, some kind of metal, that when it was raining, you could hear the bang, 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 bang of every raindrop on the roof. And similarly, there was a kind of contraption that there was a big bowl of liquid and the water, and it had holes on the bottom. Water would drip down. And it would drip at a certain pace and it would hit a bottom platform so that each drip would be, the sound of each drip would be magnified. And that was called a yarak. And Mishnah says, that I says, the Mishnah, I don't know what it is, a Mishnah price, whatever it is, matifin miyarak l'chol b'shabbos. If you have a sick person, you need to make the sound for him, you're allowed to let the drip down. And we make a diyak l'chol in labari lo. What do you see? You see that making noise, and presumably, it's only also for a chol, and after a regular person says the Gemara, hechidami, lav dinim, isn't it talking about denayim, that he's talking about he's falling asleep, and you want to wake him up with this banging noise, like an alarm clock? So you see that even the banging noise is considered aser, because it's also, it's only mutter for a sick person to keep him awake, but not a regular person. So you see from this case that you're allowed to have this dripping. You're allowed to engineer this drip, this sound system that makes a dripping sound to keep people awake, to wake people up. It sounds like it's aser, even though there's nothing pleasant about it. Shema mina aludi kala aser. You see from here that making noise is aser, even if it's not musical. So that's the Gemara. No, that's not a good proof. This is the opposite. This is not a machine to wake people, to keep a person up. This is a sleeping machine. If you go to Amazon and you type in sleeping machine, you'll probably get either a CPAP or you'll probably get a noisemaker that makes pleasant noise, that makes noises come to a rhythm. And it sounds like raindrops, continuous raindrops or a waterfall or the birds in the jungle, because those are rhythmic, measured, rhythmic, calming noises that have a certain melody. I don't want to say melody as in, you know, with a capital M, but there's a rhythm to it. There's a rhythm to it that makes it pleasant to help a person go to sleep. Oh, that's considered a musical. That's why it's usser. In other words, we just tried to prove that making noise, any noise is usser. And then the Gemara rejects that and says, no, it's only usser in this case because it's making a rhythm, because it's making a pattern rhythm that's pleasant to listen to. As the Gemara says, we're talking about a person who is awake, v'kabai delenam. He wants to fall asleep. Demishtama, and this machine makes it sound, ki kala dezimzumi. Like a, what's a zimzumi? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, zimzumi are tzimbish, which is Hebrew, is mitzvah time. They sound like cymbals. It's like light cymbals that you hear. And that sound is pleasant. It helps a person, like a tambourine, fall asleep. So that was the first attempted proof, to prove that a sound is making sound is aser. I would say, no, maybe it's only aser because it's rhythmic. And that's why it's aser. But you see clearly, everyone agrees, if it's rhythmic, and it's a pleasant rhythmic sound, that would be aser. Okay, let's try the next proof to see if we could prove that making any sound is aser. Aser number two. The Brisa says, in question number two, Hamishamer peirosa pre'ha'osav ha'ofos v'dala'av v'pre'achaya, Mishamer kedaka v'shabes. So let's say you're a scarecrow. You're a human scarecrow. You're standing guard by the fruit, by the trees, and hoping, you know, to chase away all the beasts and the birds that are coming to feast on your farm, on your produce. So what's going to happen when a bird starts coming close? You try to clap to like scare it away, right? Like I had this not long ago. We had a squirrel in the sukkah, right? Just on sukkah, we had a squirrel run into the sukkah. So I went to the sukkah and I sort of like stamped my foot. I clapped to get to scare it out. So the Brisa says, well, Vavad, you're allowed to be a human scarecrow as long as shelo yisapik, you're not allowed to clap. Vlo yitapach, you're not allowed to bang your foot. Vlo yirakeid, you can't, you know, do a jiggle. Kadesh inosu b'chol. You can't clap or bang your foot like you do on a weekday. Why? My time, huh? Isn't it lav dekal molad milkala? Don't you see from this that it's also because you're making a noise? B'chol alu dekal asir. I therefore see that whenever you make a noise, there's no rhythm here. There's no pleasantness here. There's no melody here. And it's still asir. Why is it asir? It must be because it's asir to make a noise on Shabbos. And we have a proof that it's asir to make a noise. Says the Gemara, no. This has nothing to do with making a noise. Really, it's only us that make noise if it's musical. This is a totally unrelated isser. We don't want you to bang or to clap to scare with the animals because you might pick up a stone and throw the stone, and that's going to be an isser of muktzah or maybe hotzah if there's no erev. That's why it's us to bang your feet, not because the sound is usser, but because it might cause you to do something that we don't want you to do. Okay, that's the second attempted proof. Again, that was an attempted proof to prove that any noise is usser, and we reject it. We say you don't have a proof that any noise is usser. Maybe this bang is usser, this clapping is usser for some other reason. Okay, we're going to now go to a third proof. This proof, I remember my mother told me that when she was younger and she lived at Bar Park, they had a game. For some reason, they only played this game on Pesach. I don't know why it was a Pesach game, but they would have a bag of nuts. And again, anyone on this Zoom call can tell me if you remember such a game when you were younger, whether you lived at Bar Park or Crown Heights or Canarsie or wherever you lived. You have nuts, and you throw the nuts out along the floor, and then you take a nut, and you roll your nut, and it bangs. If you bang one of the nuts that are out there, you get to collect all the nuts and you keep them. Basically like marbles. So what are you playing? You're playing a game that the point is to make a bang. You're not trying to make a noise per se, you're just trying to bang the nut. That's the game, right? Says the Gemara, Nashim hamesachakos be'egozim aser. You're not allowed to play nuts on Shabbos. Whoa! You're not allowed to play nuts on Shabbos. My timer, Lav, says the Gemara, oh, I have a great proof that you're not allowed to make noise on Shabbos. There's no rhythm here. I'm not bang, nut, nut, bang, 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 bang. But no, it's just like, bang, roll the nut. Hooray, I won. You roll a nut, you miss. Somebody else rolls a nut, he gets it. There's no rythm. There's no pattern. There's no melody. And you see the banging of a nut, the Gemara says explicitly, Bryce says, my time of lamb to come all the color, the whole alud, the color asir. So don't you see from this that it's asir too? Bang, make a banging sound? You have a proof that even when there's no melody, just making a sound is asir. Says the Gemara, no, you're misunderstanding this case entirely. Nothing to do with music. Nothing to do with noise. It's asir because you might come to smooth out the dirt below. Right? The whole point is that you're going to roll the nut along the floor. So we're worried. You're going to smooth out the floor, the dirt on the floor. So your marbles or your nuts can roll more smoothly. So you don't have any proofs anymore to prove to me that making noise is usher. And really, maybe it's only usher to make noise in a way that creates a rhythm or a melody. We don't have a proof. Okay, let's go to question number four. The Bryce's fourth attempt. We say that, remember the picture that I showed you all the way up there? You remember this picture? It says that you're allowed to use this gear contraption to lift up the water on Shabbos. It sounds like it's a special hetzer for the Beis HaMikdash. The Mikdash in the Medina alone. Sounds like it's only moved to the Beis HaMikdash. Why is it only moved to the Beis HaMikdash, but it's usher in my, you know, in Lawrence and in Far Rockaway? It's usher to do this? My time alam, you should have the call of usher, isn't it? Because you're being molded, you're making a noise. As you're cranking the gears, there's this cranking sound that's making noise, and that seems to be usher. Why else would it be usher anywhere else? Says the Gemara, no, nothing to do with making noise. The reason why now I need to crank up a gear to lift up water is because we're worried if you do it in your own house, we're worried you might irrigate your field. You might lift up water to irrigate your fields. So we don't need to lift up water because it might lead to irrigating fields, which is an issur zareah on Shabbos. Nothing to do with the sound. Okay, so what did we just have? We had a machlokas whether making noise is usur whenever you make noise, or it's only usur if you make a musical noise. Then the Gemara brought four proofs to show that any noise is usur, and the Gemara rejected every one of those attempted proofs. So how do you deal with a Gemara like that? Well, the Gemara has four proofs for something, but yet it rejects every one. On one hand, you say, so you have no proofs. On the other hand, you see, you weaseled out of A and weaseled that differently from B and weaseled that out of C somehow and weaseled out of D, but you see there's a propensity of, there's a whole bunch of things that's accumulated that seem to be against you, but you weaseled out of any one of them, but presumably it should be us to make noise. We're going to have to see this in a moment, how we're going to pass them. But we have one last line of this Gemara. Amemar shara lemimla begilgalat b'mechuzah. Amemar did not live in the Beis HaMikdash. Amemar was an Amora. He lived in the time of Amoraim. He didn't even live in Eretz Yisrael. He lived in the city Mechuzah. You know what? He allowed people to fill up with a galga, with a gear, some kind of contraption of gears, and he allowed people in Mechuzah to use the very loud and noisy gear contraption to fill up water in his city of Mechuzah. What do you see from that conclusion of the Gemara? You see that you're allowed to make noise, don't you? So we really have to figure out how we paskin. Do we paskin, going back again to the very, very beginning of the story, if you remember the story, where somebody knocked on the door and Ula said, oh, there was a knock on the door, he's a Mechal Shabbos. And Rabbi says, no, making noise is only usur if you make it in a melodic, rhythmic, patterned way that's pleasant to the ear. That's the only noise that's usur to make. This question, we saw these two opinions. We had four questions on the one who said that's any noise. I'm sorry, we had four proofs to the one that says it's any noise, and we rejected each of the proofs. How do we paskin? So let's go to the Rishon and see how we paskin in this very important machlokas, because this machlokas is going to tell us, am I allowed to make noise, clap, whistle, bang nuts, stamp my feet, do any noise on Shabbos, make noise on Shabbos? Comes Rabbi Chananel on that very Gemara and Erevin and paskins for us. And he paskins in an interesting way, because if you remember the way the Gemara was configured, it was configured in such a way that there's machlokas, and we brought four proofs that it's also to make any noise, and we rejected each proof. So in the end, you have no proofs because we rejected every one as we brought it up, we knocked it down. But says Rabbi Chananel, Afagat Deshani Rabba, Kol Hani Tuyufti Demakshelei, even the Rabba who says, oh, only when there's a musical tone, is it usher? He answered all the four questions that prove that every noise is usher. Ashinuyi lo samchino. Excuse me. On these answers, we don't rely. V'lo dachino l'shmuat u'la. We don't reject Ula's position that it's usher to make any noise on Shabbos. And this indeed is the opinion of Rabbi Chananel. It's a chomedic opinion. It says Rabbi Chananel was paskening as the maskana of this Gemara, and since we had four proofs that showed that it's usher to make noise on Shabbos, any noise, that's the halacha. You cannot knock on a door. If somebody knocks on the door, don't say who's there, because we know who's there. It's a mechal Shabbos who's there. That's who's there. And I'm not talking about a door knocker with those metal rings that you... I'm talking a guy who just knocks on the door. That's Chilul Shabbos, according to Rabbi Chananel. Okay, it's only Drabbanan, but it is Chilul Shabbos to knock on a door. It is Chilul Shabbos to make noise by playing, banging nuts, even though playing marbles. It's Chilul Shabbos to do any noise, making anything. I assume whistling would be equally usher. We'll see, whistling might be a little different. We'll see later. But any noise making Shabbos is usher. That's the Pesach of Rabbi Chananel. Comes Tosus, and first of all, he starts off saying, whoa, wait a second. You're going to tell my kids can't play nuts on Shabbos? You're going to tell... the ladies that they're not allowed to knock on their friends' doors and schmooze on a Shabbos afternoon, don't even try it. It's not going to work, right? They're going to do it anyway. So don't tell them that it's usher to do. If it's something they're not so aware of, they're going to do it anyway. You know, let them be shogigin v'alihum mezidin. That's not telling us how to pass them. That's just telling us practically, you know, don't talk to people about it because no one's going to listen to you. Okay, so I shouldn't have been giving this year because no one's going to listen to me anyway. Okay, but let's see how do we pass them. So Tosus continues and quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel, whom we just learned. the Hilchasa Ke'ula, the stringent opinion, who doesn't let you knock on the doors, to afil kol she'eino shel shir, is aser. That's Rabbi Hanan's position, whom we saw a moment ago. But says Tosus, but that's not the whole story. The Rif says otherwise. V'Rabbeinu Alphus, the Rif, Rav Rabbi Yehuda Bar Barzilai. Did anyone ever hear of him? I don't know who he is. Apparently he's one of the Gedolei HaPoskim before the Bali HaTosus, in the early, I don't know, the 11 or 1200s. I don't know who this is. We have to do some research who Rabbi Yehuda Bar Barzilai is. Well, anyway, the Rif and this person, Pascha Karaba, who's lenient and says only musical noise is aser. If you bang to a beat, dun 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 dun, or dun 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 dun, if you knock like that, that's aser, according to Rabba. Everyone knows that's aser. Ula says you're not allowed to knock at all. Rabba says you're not allowed to knock to a pattern, to a beat, to a rhythm. Making noise to a rhythm, that's what's aser. So the Rif is Mikkel, and says it's only aser if you do it to a rhythm, to a pattern, to a beat. Okay, let's see that Rif inside and see why he comes out lahachmir. I'm sorry, why the Rif comes out lahel hakel. After all, we had Rabbeinu Chananel say the Gemara has four proofs that it's aser to make any noise. So why does Rif say it's mutter to make noise? It's only aser if you make a rhythm or a melody. So it says the Rif. And this Rif, by the way, is going to teach us a very important lesson in how to look at all of Psak Halacha. That's what's going to be in the Rif, which we'll get to in just a moment. The Rif first introduces why he paskins lahakel, why he passes that you're allowed to make noise in Shabbos, and only melodic tunes. That's the only kind of sound you're not allowed to make. Only melodies are aser. Mistabrulan says the Rif, and there's a Rif that tells us Harash is the same thing. Mistabrulan de Hilchasa Kavasei de Rabba. We pass like Rabba who says that it's aser only to make melodies. Lo Amru El Bekol Shir Bilvad. It's only aser to make noise if it makes a tune. Why? First of all, because Midatars of Achar Bayakov Kavasei. Okay, so Rav Achar Bayakov said like him. Let's not get to that. And finally, also, because look at the very last line of the Sugya that we saw earlier. You remember the very last line of the Sugya after we had four questions, four vices? The Sugya concluded with a story about a Meimar who lived in Mechuza, and they had some gear contraption that was very noisy, and he allowed this gear contraption to fill up water in Mechuza, and he wasn't worried about the noise. So the Gemara's conclusion seems to say that it's mutter to make noise, even if it's a loud noise. Obviously, it's permitted to make noise as long as it's not musical. That's the Rif's proof. Now, says the Rif, but you know what? I'm nervous. You know why I'm nervous, says the Rif? Because even though I have this Gemara Bavli, which I'm convinced the Bavli is telling me, the last line of the Gemara tells me that you're allowed to make noise. It's only also if you have a tune, but noise itself is permitted. But there's a Yerushalmi. There's Yerushalmi, which we haven't seen. You and I haven't seen it yet, but there's Yerushalmi who's machmir on this. The Chazina Lemik says Ravisa. I saw a number of rabbis, this real Ula, who hold like Ula, who says that's also make any noise, just knocking on the door. Dun dun, knock knock, is Aser. And they rely on the Gemara de B'nei Ma'arava. What's the Gemara de B'nei Ma'arava? It's the Talmud Yerushalmi. There's a Talmud Yerushalmi that seems to say explicitly that you cannot make any noise on Shabbos. No bangs, no knocks, no hits, nothing. Obviously, the Yerushalmi is written in a language that's a little bit unfamiliar with us, but you could basically see. Just look at the last line. Rabbi Yirmiyah Shari Makish Al Tar B'Shabbata. Rabbi Yirmiyah permitted to knock on a Tar. A Tar is Aramaic for a door on Shabbos. Amar Le'Abayi, and Abayi responds to him, concludes the Yerushalmi. Man Sharila, who permits you to knock on the door? Why you knock on the door? You can't knock on the door. Oh, so I have an explicit Yerushalmi that says you can't knock on a door on Shabbos. It's also to make noise. So how could the Rif, you have an explicit Yerushalmi, how could the Rif be makel? How could the Rif say, no, it's only also if you do it in a tune and a melody, but just making noise is permitted. It's an explicit Yerushalmi. Okay, I understand there, Machlokes is Rishonim and two opinions, but the Yerushalmi is explicit that it's also. Now look, gentlemen, if you came to tonight's shiur just for this paragraph, even if you look at anything about knocking on doors and whistling and banging and tapping and musical, all that stuff, forget about this. This paragraph of the Rif is going to help you understand how to deal with any Yerushalmi you ever encounter. Any Yerushalmi that's quoted by any Rishon ever. Look at what the Rif says about a Yerushalmi that's going against his Psak. He quotes the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says it's us to make any noise. Says the Rif, we don't hold like this Yerushalmi. Why? It's explicit in Yerushalmi. Why don't you hold from Yerushalmi? Says the Rif. Remember, this is the Rif talking. This line is from the Gedolei HaPoskim of our Rishonim. The Rif is one of the biggest. You know, we have the Rambam and the Rif and the Rash. Those are the three biggest poskim we have. And listen to the Rif deals with the Yerushalmi. The Kaila de Sugya and the Gemara dilan lehetera. Since the Sugya ours the Gemara is mashma that it's mutter, I don't care what the Yerushalmi says. Lo ichpas lan. You know what the word lochpat means? Lochpatli, lochpatli. Any kid in Israel, he says, oh, don't do this. I don't care. Lochpatli, lo ichpat lan. Says the Rif. We don't care. But my aser the Gemara de Bnei Marav. If Yerushalmi says it's aser. Meaning, if I have a Gemara that's mashma, the way I understand the Rif says, the way I read this Gemara, the last line of the Gemara has a story about a Meimar who allowed in his city of Mechuza to have this gear for water, even though it made noise. That sounds to me like our Gemara, our Bavli permits making noise. I don't care if this explicit Yerushalmi says otherwise. Why? Listen to this.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
You know why we follow our Gemara and not the Yerushalmi? So I always thought because in Bavli there were better learners. Wrong. I always thought in Bavli they were smarter. Wrong. I always thought because our Mesorah is the Bavli. Wrong. Why do we follow the Bavli over the Yerushalmi? Which one was first historically and which one is later? The Yerushalmi was written first and the Bavli was written later. So if anything, which should be more authoritative? Historically, the Yerushalmi was written first. I would think the Yerushalmi should be more authoritative. Look at what the Rif says, and this is mamish wild. The reason why we follow our Gemara, not Yishalmi, did Basiru, because our Gemara is later. It was written later, historically. And the Amoraim who wrote our Bavli were experts in the Yerushalmi. The Inhu, and they, the Amoraim, and the Bavli, have a Bekiyim, the Gemara, the B'nai Marav, it's Femi none. You and I can't bring a Raya from the Yerushalmi, because the Amoraim of the Bavli were greater experts at what the Yerushalmi says or didn't say than you and I are. So if there was an explicit Yerushalmi, and the Amoraim, the Bavli, in Bavel, knew about that Yerushalmi, and they understood it better than you and I do, better than any of the Shonim did. And they chose to say otherwise. If they didn't hold it, and they chose to say otherwise. V'ilav tekimlehu. V'ilav, if it wasn't tekimlehu, the high member of the B'nai Marav, Allah the Sanchu, if they didn't hold that it wasn't reliable, that the Yerushalmi is not reliable, we don't hold like that, they would never have permitted it. Look ashar lu le'inu. They would never permit something. If they were convinced that the Yerushalmi is correct, they would never have said otherwise. It must be that if the Bavli says it's mutter, it must, and the Yerushalmi says sasir, it must be the Bavli knows that we don't follow that Yerushalmi. They wouldn't be, it's not that there's a Bavli and Yerushalmi who should pass tonight. It's that the Bavli Amoraim know the Yerushalmi and purposely and understood it better than you and I do, and they chose to not follow the Yerushalmi, despite them knowing it and knowing it well. And therefore, if we ever have a Bavli against Yerushalmi, we will follow the Bavli because, not because it's our Masara, not because they're better learners, but because they knew the Yerushalmi and purposely passed against the Yerushalmi. Is that incredible? And that's exactly what the Rif says is coming to light in our sugya. We have in the Rif's eyes an explicit, again, remember, the Beit Hanan learned the Bavli differently. But in the Rif's eyes, the Bavli, our Gemara in Erevin, said in the last line of the sugya says that you're allowed, Amemar told us, he allowed in the city of Mechuzah a machine that made noise, a gears that turned and made a lot of noise, and it's permitted. So the Rif says, you see from the Bavli that it's permitted to make noise. Oh, the Yerushalmi says explicitly that it's Aser. Well, our Bavli knew that and still chose to say otherwise, and still chose to permit noise on Shabbos, just dumb noise, as long as it's not part of a tune, and therefore it's going to be Mutter. We don't pass like that Yerushalmi. So if you wanted to come just for that, you could hang up now. You heard the most important point. That was really the most incredible point of the Rif. But we still have to figure out what the halacha is. Right now, we saw the Rif's very convincing arguments that you are allowed to make noise. The problem is, Rabbi Chananel holds that, as we saw before, that you're not allowed to make noise on Shabbos. You're not allowed to knock on the door on Shabbos. How are we going to pass him? The Rif told us his, you know, why he doesn't accept Yerushalmi in his position, but how do we pass him? So in order to appreciate how we pass him, we have to bring in one other sugya. What's the sugya that you've heard of before? And it's a sugya, you can look at it as a mishnah actually, a mishnah beah. Mishnah says that there are a bunch of things you can't do on Shabbos. Things that we know of all the Xeris Rabbanans are from this mishnah. These are the things that are shvus and isitar Rabbanan. You're not allowed to climb trees, you're not allowed to ride animals, you're not allowed to go swimming, you're not allowed to tap, vlom tapchin, vlom sapkin, you're not allowed to clap, vlom rak, you're not allowed to dance. Why are you not allowed to do all these things? So you may be familiar with the Gemara that explains you can't clap, you can't dance, you can't bang, you can't tap, because Xeris Shem Yitak and Klishir. Now, what are the parameters? I can't clap, meaning meaning to a tune? You just can't go like this. Is that also us, sir? Or let's say, what if I snap my fingers? So I snap my fingers to the beat. Or if I just say, hey, Fred, get over here. Is that also us, sir? If it wasn't to a beat, or just I just didn't act with a snapping. Is that also us, sir? What's included in this mishnah when it says that you can't tap? It sounds like you can't tap because you're gonna break out the drums, you're gonna break out the bongo, you're gonna break out the mandolin. That's why you can't tap and dance. But let's look how the Rambam quotes this halacha and quotes the halacha that we've been learning. The Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos Perachav Kimmel, here he's talking about the halacha of Makkeh B'Patish. And he introduces us to the idea of what is Makkeh B'Patish. Makkeh B'Patish is putting the finishing touches on the creation of any utensil. Kol davar shu gemar malacha, you put the finishing touches on something, chai mishu Makkeh B'Patish, and therefore, etc., etc. I'm skipping a little bit. Lefikach says the Rambam, you shouldn't play an instrument because you might come to fix it. Also, Hashemiyah Kol Shashir B'Shabbos, whatever kind of instrument it is, whether it's a tambourine or a guitar or a violin, a mandolin, a harp, because you might come to fix it. And now look what he says. I feel the hakos be'etzba al hakarka, even to bang your finger on the ground. I assume that means to tap. O al haluach, against the board. That's aser. O achas keneged achas, one against the other. I'm assuming he means snapping your fingers. Kederach ha-meshorerim. Oh. So here he says, not just that you can't tap, you can't bang, you can't snap. He says, kederach ha-meshorerim, in the way of singers. So maybe just snapping your fingers to call somebody's attention, right? You're in the middle of a psuke de zimri, you don't want to talk to the guy across the table from you, but you want the tissues on the other side of the table. So you sort of snap your fingers and point to the tissues. Maybe that's okay, because that's not terecham shorer. But look what he says. Oh, it's also Azer. Lekashkish es ha'egos latinok. To bang the nut for a child. Is that musical? You're banging a nut like in a rhythmic pattern, maybe? Or the sachik lo bizug kadesh yishtok, to play with a zug, I think is a bell, to get him to quiet down. So maybe there is some kind of tune or melody or rhythm that he's talking about. These are all usher as gzer shem yitak and klishir. That's interesting. Do you know what the Rambam just did? He married two sugyas together. Look here, we have this Gemara in Beitza that says that you can't tap and dance and clap because Gzeir Shem Yitak and Klishir. Okay, that we knew that, Gemara. But wait a second. What did he include in that? He included in that snapping your fingers and banging nuts also into that. That's probably our sugya that we were learning in Erevin of making noise. And he learns both of them as a problem of Gzeir Shem Yitak and Klishir. It sounds like it's a function of the music. Now this opens up a new vista for us. And I want to share with you a chiddush of the Or Sameach, the Mesher Chachma, and the Tzitz Eliezer gets it from Or Sameach, but the Tzitz Eliezer builds on this idea. And it's a brilliant, 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 brilliant idea. Let me just see how I can show it to you best. Let me say it outside. I want to ask a Chakira. My Chakira is, until now, we've been discussing a Machlokas, whether or not it's usher to make any sound, or to make a musical sound. What's the basis of that machlokas? What's the foundation? What's the underlying principle? What's the lumdus of that machlokas? Whether it's us just to make any sound, a clap, a bang, or it's only if it's musical. So maybe we could say like this. Maybe Rabba, who says that it's us to make a musical sound, only music is usher. Why? Because he's concerned with what Gzeir the Rabbanan. He's concerned that if you make a musical sound, what's the problem with making noise? There's no problem making noise, there's a problem making music. Because if you make music, it's going to lead to what? It's going to lead to Shemi attacking Klei Shir. Maybe you'll come to fix the, if you're going to play something musical, it'll break, something will snap, and then you'll come to fix it and you'll violate Tikkun Mani, you'll violate Makom Patish. That's if you hold that the Isser is making music. So if you hold that the Isser is making music, you call the reason for the Isser making sounds is that you might be attacking Klei Shir. However, listen to this, Rabbi Osai. Why would you hold that's also just to make a sound? What's wrong with making a sound? There's no niggun, there's no tune, you're not going to come to fix an instrument, you're not going to come to be attacking Klei Shir, you're not going to come to do Makom Patish. What's wrong with just making a bang, throwing a nut against another nut? Lifting, cranking the gears to make a noise. What should be wrong with that? Says this Or Sameach, maybe there's a new Isser. Not Gzeir Shem Yitak and Klei Shir, because that only applies to music. But maybe there's an Isser of creation. What's the Isser of creation? Molid. We have found the concept of Molid in numerous areas. We have found the concept of Molid when it comes to making ice on Shabbos. There's a question if you're allowed to make ice cubes on Shabbos. It's a problem of Molid. We found the concept of Molid when you have ice and you want to chop the ice and make it into a liquid. That's an Isser of Molid. We found the Isser of Molid when it comes to whipped cream. Some poskim say you can't take the liquid inside the aerosol can and press the button, which pushes a lot of air into it, and make a foam, a hard foam, because it's Molid, it's creating a new form. Some people say you're not allowed to brush teeth with toothpaste because it changes the form. It changes it from a solid to a liquid. Some people say, I'm not saying we pass like all these things, I'm just putting them out there. The Gemara talks about infusing smells into clothing. You like, some people like their underwear to smell like a perfume, like some kind of cologne, or some other, their shirts to smell like a certain cologne. So they infuse smell into the clothing. That's molid, not molid of a solid to liquid or liquid to a solid, but infusing smell into clothing. Well, maybe there's a molid of creating a noise. Wow, if that's the case, then I don't care what kind of noise. I don't care if it's a tune, a rhythm, a beat, a pattern, a melody. You create a noise. Maybe that's the reason for the opinion who says that any noise is aser. That's the chakira that the Or Sameach and the Tzitz Eliezer suggest. That the machlokas, whether it's aser to only make a tune or to make any noise on Shabbos, is machlokas, what's the iser of making sounds on Shabbos? Is it an iser of Shem Yitak and Klei Shir, in which case it's only aser to make a melody? Or there's an iser called molid kol. Any noise that you make is aser. And the rabbi who says it's only aser to make a noise doesn't hold from the sugya kol, there's no such thing as molid kol, as just making a sound. There's no iser molid when it comes to sound. And guess what? Let's go back to the original Gemara that we saw at the very beginning of today. And I highlighted something that now you'll appreciate. Every single time that the Gemara refers to Rabba, who says that you can't make, I'm sorry, Ulu, who says you can't make any noise at all. You can't even knock on a door. Look how the Gemara describes that opinion. Look at the yellow on the screen. Olude Kala is Aser. Molid Kol is Aser. Molid Kol is Aser. Olude Kala is Aser. Wow. The Gemara is saying this. There's an Isser of Molid. There's an Isser of Molid. The Isser of making noise on Shabbos is a new extension to the concept of Molid. We have the concept of Molid by putting stuff in the freezer. We have the concept of Molid by smelling, making clothing smell. You have Molid also in the realm of sound. Making a sound is an Isser Dabbanan called molid. That's what Ula says. That's why you're not allowed to knock on a door. And Rabba says, there's no such Isser. There's no such Isser to make a noise, to make noise, to make a sound. Oh, to beat to a melody, to knock with a pattern and a rhythm, to beatbox on a door, to beatbox, bum, 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 to do something like that. There's no molid. That's a separate issue. Of course, that's going to be Isser. That's going to be Isser. Just like you can't play any other instrument, a guitar, a piano, a drum, because Shem Yitak and Klei Shir. That's totally unrelated. And therefore, what we see here is two vastly, they're not just arguing what are the halachas of making noise. The argument of whether it's us to make just any sound or only a melody is a fundamental machlokes of what's the iser of making noise on Shabbos. Is there something called the iser of molid kol? And therefore, everything noise will be aser, even turning a gear that is noisy. Well, there's no such iser of molid kol. Molid doesn't apply to the realm of sound or the realm of kol. There's a separate iser called Shem Yitak and Klei Shir. We don't want to fix instruments. So therefore, don't do anything that is musical and that has a melody to it. That's what the Or Sameach suggests. And the Tzitz Eliezer speaks out greater now. Now, based on what we just said, I'd like to start coming lehalacha. That was all the background. Let's first discuss the halachas of of knocking on doors. So Rabbi Osai, you let a knock on a door on Shabbos? It seems like it's a machlokas amoran. It seems it's a machlokas rishonim. It might even be a machlokas babbling Yerushalmi. So what do? I knock on the door, I don't knock on the door. Well, one of the rishonim, the Sefer HaAgur, goes to this sugya for us. Rabbeinu Chananel, Osir HaShemas Kol. Afil Einu Mechavim L'Shei. We saw that Rabbeinu Chananel. This says you can't make any sound. And therefore, Lefiza, Osir HaKos HaDalas. Afil Be'egrof. We know what an egrof is. An egrof is a fist. You can't knock on the door. Forget with a knocker. You can't even use your fist to knock on the door, according to Rabbeinu Chananel. But we also saw the second point. The Rav Elfis, we saw that riff. Eat here. Now the riff says, no, it's only us to make music. If you're not making music, it's mutter to knock on the door. So what should I do? Let's just point out, what about a knocker, an instrument that you make specifically to make the noise of the knocking? If you have a kli hamiyuchah lekach, that's going to be worse. That's going to be worse because then you're using a specified kli, which comes out to be something very funny. In the Jewish world today, why in the world does anybody put a knocker on their front door? Well, if it's during the weekdays, you're only going to put a bell. You use a bell. The knocker, Jews put knockers on their front door specifically for Shabbos. Well, here we're saying that knockers are specifically problematic, more problematic than knocking with your fist. If you knock with your fist, that's a machlokas. But to use a knocker, a real knocker, one of those rings that are metal rings that are attached to the door, swing up and down, that's going to be even worse. Okay. So how are we going to paskin? Let's just jump to how we paskin. Okay, let's go to the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, and this is how we paskin. I hope, I assume. So the Shulchan Aruch in Sefer Shin Lamed Ches, Hashmas Kol. Now, what I need to carefully look at this Shulchan Aruch to see if he's going to ask there any sound or only musical sounds. Let's see what he paskins. Hashmas Kol v'kleishir aser. To make musical instruments is aser. Of course, I knew that. Aval hakish al hadeles v'chayotzi bazeh, to knock on a door, etc. K'she'eino derech shir mutter. Ding, ding, ding. We just found a winner. What does it mean when the Shulchan Aruch says that it's mutter if it's not a melody? That means the Shulchan Aruch is holding it's only aser if it's a melody. That means the Shulchan Aruch, we had a gigantic raging machlokas the entire evening tonight, the entire shiur, we had machlokas. Is it aser to make any noise and knock on any door? Or it's only aser to make a melody? What is the Shulchan Aruch paskening? It's only aser to knock to a melody, to a rhythm, to a pattern. And if you just knock on the regular, knock, knock, then it will be mutter. Stop here for a second. So Shulchan Aruch just paskened l'hakel, like Rava, who said in the very, very, very first command that we saw this evening, that it's only usher to make musical bangs. It's only usher to make sound if it's musical. But to just knock on the door, even though you're making a noise, it should be molikola. Shulchan Aruch says, that's not usher. It's only usher if you make it in a melody. Wow, we just paskened our gigantic shayla. We see that the Shulchan Aruch paskens, like those Rishonim who are lenient, who like the riff who was mekel, and said it's only usher to bang or to make a noise if it has a tune or a melody.
Against the Rambam.
The Rambam also sounded a little bit that it's also because Shemi Takin Kleshir. So the way we're explaining tonight, that concern of Shemi Takin Kleshir is a concern of music should only be also if it's melodic. But if it's not melodic, the Rambam might permit it. It's not clear what Rambam holds. I think there's explicit, I'm not sure how they understand the Rambam, but let's leave that for now. Okay, so Halach L'Maisa, let's talk about what about those door knockers, the one that are built into the door. Says the Rambam explicitly, also L'Hakos B'Shabbos Aladelas B'Tabas, with a ring that's Kavua B'Delas, a ring that's attached to the door to knock, it's Aser. Even though you're not intending to be musical, you're not trying to do dun 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 dun. You're not trying to do any special pattern or musical knock. It's a specially designated and designed tool to make noise. Then it's going to be also, even if it is not musical. If you do something like with tapping or banging with some sound with nuts, then it's only also if you do it in a musical way. But if you use a tool that's specially designed and designated and engineered to be a noisemaker, that's going to be also even without any musical, any melodic outcome. And therefore, you can't bang on the door with a door knocker. So Rabbi Osai, next time you go anywhere for Shabbos and there's a knocker on the door, don't use the knocker. Bang on the door with your fist. However, when you bang on the door with your fist, don't do it with a melody, with a beat. Just bang, knock on the door. I'm not really sure what we're going to consider, Is that really a tune? Dun, 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 dun. Is that really a tune? Maybe it's a tune. Maybe we're coming out of the chumrah tonight. And when you knock, you just knock regularly, 1, 2, 3. Not dun, 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 dun. That might be a tune. Maybe that's going to be awesome. Maybe it's melodic. That's what I think would be the halacha. The next point, I think we could leave for another time. Whistling, maybe we'll do next week. That's a sugya, a little bit of its own discussion. And halacha l'maisa, we had a shayla tonight. We wanted to know if you're allowed to make noise, you're not allowed to make noise, you're allowed to knock on the door, you're not allowed to knock on the door. We found this machlokes amoraim, machlokes rishonim. The Shulchan Aruch comes out in paskins, halacha l'maisa, that it's only also to make noise if it's melodic, if it's to a tune, but to just bang, that is permitted. And we saw the Tzitz Eliezer and the Meshech Chachma explain that the opinion who says you're not allowed to make any noise holds that there's a new iser called molid. Not only molid in other realms of halacha, but real molid applies into the realm of kol. And we apparently don't hold from that opinion. We hold like the other opinion that the only reason why you can't make noise is because you're misakin, that because you might come to be misakin klishir, and therefore it will only be usher if you do it in a musical way. And that's indeed how we paskin. We paskin halacha lemaisa. If you make noise that's not part of the tune, it is permitted, so long as you don't use a kli for it. Okay, so you're allowed to knock on doors, but not on knockers, and not with a pattern. Okay, thank you. That's all for tonight. Okay. I'm happy to take questions. I'm going to turn off the recorder. Good to see Chaim, Chazan. Good to see Dr. Pinter and Rabbi Weiss and Howard. I'm not sure how Howard is. And Avi, good to hear you. Avi, you're quiet today. And Yechiel, wonderful to see you here. And Dr. Maskus, good to see you. And Mommy and Daddy, nice to see you.
Rabbi,
I heard everywhere.
Felixson and Herbie, good to see you.
Rabbi.
Have a good night. Have a good night, Mr. Davies.
Rabbi, in the Belzer Shul in Eretz Yisrael, they have this hammer, like a gavel. Okay, the shul is packed. Hundreds of people, they are packed. So they don't finish until the Rebbe finishes. Whatever they're davening, until he finishes, they don't do anything. But you can't hear the Rebbe when the Rebbe's finished. There's a guy, a gabbai, who's next to the Rebbe. And when he hears the Rebbe finish, he gives a signal to the guy standing at the bima, and the guy in the bima knocks with the gavel, which is loud, and then everybody else starts the next tefillah.
I guess that's permitted because it's not a kli hamiyuchad l'kach. It's not designed to, it wasn't manufactured. It's a hammer. It's a gavel. It's not manufactured to, I guess the gavel is made to bang.
It is made to bang, or is it because... Maybe it's a miyuchad l'Shabbos. Maybe it's a Shabbos gavel.
Some people want to say that maybe nowadays when we use doorbells, maybe also the knockers are really miyuchad l'Shabbos. Maybe that's a tzad
l'Shabbos. Maybe. That makes a loud noise, really.
I hear that. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
There's a whole discussion in the olden days when the Vekers used to walk around the Gabayim, used to walk around the shtetls to wake everybody up for davening for slichas. They had a banger, a special tool that was a clapper. It wasn't attached to the house, but it was in your hand and it had a double clap. It banged against the house and then flipped over and banged again. So it'd be a double clap. So he just had to swing once, sort of double clap against the door. Bang, bang, bang. So the post could talk about that tool. The Ramah talks about using that tool on Shabbos also. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Davies.
Okay.
That the case of the Mukhni.
Yeah.
Isn't there a concept of Ein Shvus B'Mikdash?
Yeah, that's why it's explicit. That's mutter only the Beis HaMikdash, and it's mashma that would be also out of the Beis HaMikdash. Correct. That was
that reason, right?
Yeah, but at the end of the story, it still said that a Mamer allowed some kind of gear to be used in Mechuza. So, but yeah, that specific case of the Beis HaMikdash was only mutter in the Beis HaMikdash because Ein Shvus B'Mikdash. Correct.
Rabbi, how do we deal with dancing on the Simcha on Shabbos?
That's a good question. Okay, Simcha the Shabbos. So the question is, the dancing around, when men dance, they just drag their legs in a circle. Is that called dancing? To dance for real is usher, period. To dance for real is usher. To schlep your legs, one leg after the other, in a circle, you know, that's not called dancing. Bothered for hundreds of years with your question. The Poskim have been bothered by how come, when the Aruch HaShulchan says, how come so many people have a minute, the Ramah even. The Aruch HaShulchan says, how come so many people dance on Shabbos? It's usher. It's usher. The Mishnah says explicitly it's usher. So there are many limudei zechus, why it could be okay. So one of them, maybe the Aruch HaShulchan says, that our dancing is not like the dancing that the Mishnah prohibits. The Mishnah prohibits dancing to a tune. Meaning, when we dance, certainly when men dance. When men dance, we just dance. Oh, actually, the Hora. You know the Hora? You go two steps forward, one step back. Not the Hora. What is it called? The second dance at a wedding.
It's cool.
The Hora? Okay, when you dance, the second dance at the wedding, not the first set of dances, at the second set of dancing, then even men, they take two steps forward, one step back. Two steps forward, one step back, and that's to a tune. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan was the original way of dancing in the time of Chazal. That's what Chazal were worried about. If you dance to a tune, meaning your motions match the music, not just you dancing in a circle. Running around in a circle is not dancing, says Aruch HaShulchan. Chacham were worried, says Aruch HaShulchan, that you're dancing in a way that matches the music. When you start dancing in a certain way that matches the music, you're going to want to take out the music to get them dancing to match music and music to match dancing, and that's going to cause a problem. That's the chesed of Aruch HaShulchan. It's a gigantic chesed. We don't really assume that that's not really.
You always dance for a tune. You don't dance mute. You always, when you dance, is a song, and people
but
dance
with the song. But you dance. Do the moves of your body correspond?
Yes, they usually do. They usually do.
If you're just going in a circle.
That's what everybody is doing. Every yeshiva simcha, they're dancing. Every siyum, they're dancing.
So if it's on Simchas Torah, that the Rishonim say explicitly is permitted because of the Simchas HaTorah. Since it's only also the Rabbanan, for the Simcha of Torah, Chachamim allowed a dispensation. But even for weddings, they said not. Even for Shabbat Brachas, they said not. That's explicit in the Rishonim. That's a special kula for Simchas Torah. So, but again, many people say that if you just walk around in a circle dragging your legs, it's not considered dancing. Some others say that dancing is only when you have both feet in the air at the same time. But if you drag your feet, you're just walking in a circle, that's not called dancing. So that's what I would suggest you do. If they dance, just walk in a circle. Which is what most people usually do.
No.
I'm not getting into it. What?
I agree with Hassan. People dance to a rhythm.
So women certainly dance to a rhythm.
No, the defense, maybe, but I mean, the song is there. Somebody's singing a song that they dance to, you know? So, right.
But if the movement,
the problem is also singing a song, you're worried about a musical instrument. It's the same chasha.
So the Aruch HaShulchan is trying to explain how come we see people do dance when the halacha is explicit that it's usher. So he wants to explain that our dancing is not the dancing that Chazal prohibited. that the dancing that the Mishnah prohibited was only dancing that was a kind of dance that we don't really do nowadays, where the movements mimic the sound, the noise. And he says, therefore, we don't have this dancing. That's why people are knowing to dance nowadays, even though it's explicit Mishnah not like that. Even though the Mishnah says explicitly that you're not allowed to. That's not Hashulchan's suggestion. It's a big finish. We don't really assume like that. That's his limud zechus on the minhag of people. The minhag was many people did dance, and all the achronim looked for limud zechus. Why is it so? Why do they dance if it should presumably be a Mishnah says otherwise? If you walk around in a circle without jumping up and down, you'd be fine.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.